When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another stream, another match. They're coming absolutely rapidly at the moment. We can barely keep up here at the Anfield Talk, but we are here once again to preview another Premier League fixture. I'm joined by my good friend Elliot. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good. Glad to hear it, mate. You did a great job on the match reaction yesterday against LASK, so massive well done for that one, mate. And also, we're joined by Dan Lawless. You may have seen him on West Ham Fan TV. And you do a lot of Terry stuff as well, don't you, Terry?
Yeah. I'm on there from time to time. Race for Europe show, my mate Dan Potts' show, 12-man podcast, London Clubs Carnage. I'm everywhere, mate, unfortunately.
He's everywhere, that is. You can find him anywhere. I'm sure you'll recognise his face if you're watching this and you've seen something to do with West Ham before. But guys, on entry, or if you're watching this on the replay, which I'm sure a lot of people will probably be doing, because I had to do it a bit earlier today, but please smash a like button and subscribe if you haven't already. You know, we're bringing you previews and match reactions for every single game, which, believe me, is not easy when you're playing Thursday nights, which is kind of our own fault, isn't it? But it is what it is. Let's get straight into it. And Dan, I wanted to come to you first, straight off the bat, because I want to ask you about something that's not to do with this game or even this season, really. I want to throw you back to last season. I want to throw your mind back to that final, the Conference League. And I want you to just tell us what that was like as a West Ham fan, because if you look at the season, it was almost like a complete polar opposite. Like, it was so bad in the league in terms of your league positioning. Granted, I didn't watch as much West Ham. And then you go and win a trophy. So what was that like, getting into the Europa League, doing it that way, mate?
Yeah, do you know what? It's the best way to do it. Like, it's the best way to qualify. Same way, if you're going to qualify Champions League, you know, you'd rather win the Europa League than finish fourth. Anyone with any sort of sane, rational mind would go, I'd rather finish, you know, like 10th and win the Europa League than finish fourth. You know what I mean? Like, same way with this. I'd rather have finished where we finished, even though it was a crap season in the long overall in the long run. But the achievement, you know, getting to witness that, you know, cup final, winning that trophy, getting to see the parade, which was just amazing for me, you know, growing up in East London, growing up around that Stratford area, getting to see that the parade and all that, which blew me away. It's like, this is Stratford, you know, this is where I grew up, and we're seeing thousands and thousands of people here. You know, it's just, you can't beat that. And to do it that way, it was unbelievable. And people talk about, oh, the Conference League, it's a new trophy. No one, there's not a single person in East London that day that was sitting there and weighing it up versus, oh, other trophies. Oh, it's not as prestigious as the FA Cup. It's not as good as this cup. We was not thinking that. We were just enjoying it, seeing the players. The players weren't thinking, you know, lifting up the trophy. You know, it's memories that will last a lifetime. And I'm sure, I suppose the only thing that you can compare it to for Liverpool, because obviously you've won quite a few trophies, but the big one, the one that you wanted to win, was the Premier League, right? You hadn't won the league in a long time. And a lot of you lads probably haven't seen your club win a league title, right? So for you, as much as, and I'm not saying that the trophies are on a par, but for you to see something that you didn't know that you wouldn't necessarily live to see, and you've never seen, seeing you win that league, it meant even more than just, you know, a regular, you know, for other teams who've won a league title, because you've seen it and you've never seen it. You didn't think you would see it. That's what it was like for me, just in terms of any trophy, you know. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. I hope I've been able to sort of sum that up a bit there, but it was incredible.
No, absolutely. I think, obviously, it comes with a lot of, and Elliot, you'll see a lot of this on our side of things on Twitter. It's like people that support the clubs that are in the Champions League or Europa League, they always downplay these kind of competitions. And they'll look at, you know, teams like West Ham and Brighton now. But if you've not had that, like, you know, on a regular basis, you're going to want to win it. And even as us, mate, we won the Champions League 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. I'm so desperate to win the Europa League this season. Don't know about you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think West Ham will probably be thinking they have a good chance themselves. So I think why not win any trophy, even the League Cup? Everyone dismisses that. And I think you say there, fans of teams who are not in those competitions or who haven't won those competitions tend to play it down. I think we saw a bit of that from Manchester City before they won it last season. I mean, Twitter's not the best place to judge things, but you see some going like, oh, it's a knockout competition, it's easier, but they didn't win it, but now they have won it. I'm sure their minds will be completely different. So you've got to savor it. And West Ham, so two rights, the Conference League's a great little competition that they've done. And you know, Roma, Jose Mourinho took it very seriously, and so he should, and so did David Moyes. And look, you reap the rewards of that. And West Ham is probably it's a bit of a catalyst for this season's probably good form, I'd argue as well.
Mourinho winning it, I think, and the competition wonders. I think it was a great start of him winning it first and helping it and seeing how much it meant to him. But even the League Cup, right? When you guys won the League Cup, in the moment that you're in the final and you win it and you're winning that game and you see yourself lift the cup, nothing is going through your mind and going, like, oh, it's just the League Cup.
It's only the League Cup. No, of course.
It's true.
Yeah, that full-time whistle goes. It's pure relation. Do you know what I mean? And in the buzz of seeing the players lifting the trophy and going up and collecting the medals and all of that, like, you're not sitting there and calculating it and weighing it up against other trophies. And you know, it's people like to add that after the fact, but the winning any trophy is a great feeling.
You make a good point. And I was lucky enough to be there at the League Cup final at Wembley, and when it goes to penalties, you're not sat there thinking, this don't mean anything. Like that's as important to you as any game ever. Like when you're there in the moment, it's a penalty shootout against Chelsea. We hate Chelsea, first of all, so you don't want to lose to them. Second of all, you know, like you say, if you're there, you don't think anything like, oh, it's a small competition. It's another trophy. And I think that's just a good way to start on it. And it just shows, doesn't it, the standard now, you know, that you can be really poor in the league, but at the end of the day, if you've got a good set of players, which West Ham did on paper last season, if they can just come together and a run of games and knock out football, anything can happen. I think as well, like just the last thing on the trophy thing before we get into this game, when we won the League Cup, I remember a lot of people were saying this doesn't mean anything unless we go and win the big ones. Like, it was just very disappointing when we won the League Cup to see people like downplay it and, you know, sort of look onto the future as to what may happen or may not happen, rather than now. You know, we hadn't won a domestic cup for a long, long time. You know, it was just a nice experience. So, yeah.
Well, why to the back, Klopp, just before you won the League Cup, just to add, because you had a point, he'd won the league and he'd won the Champions League, right? And there was a big gap, not much else. And I remember saying at the time, what Klopp needs to do, really start doing, is stacking trophies. And it doesn't matter the trophies, is sit there and stack them up. And whether it's the League Cup here, FA Cup there, and then you look back over his period of time and you put the trophies together, and you think, wow, you know, that's an impressive period. Rather than, you know, you can have a big one, you know, here and then a big one there, and then you've got these gaps. And just stack those trophies up, you know, and that's what people remember, you know. And there is an expectation, oh, Liverpool, we want to keep winning the league. We want to win the Champions League. But, you know, when you sit back and you look at Klopp, you know, he won, you know, multiple trophies. It's, you know, it's a successful run. And I thought it'd be a crime if he didn't have that high number of trophies during his run. And he took it seriously and, you know, it paid off. And now, like we said, Europa League, you know, let's see, you know, if he takes that seriously. Yeah, it's not the Champions League and you've won that, but it's another trophy to add to the collection.
Absolutely. And let's fast forward, Dan, 5 months or so down the line. West Ham have started the season, and I think Elliot made a point that, you know, it could have been a catalyst to this. You know, you lost at least one massive, massive player, your captain, Declan Rice, which is not easy for any club to lose one, their captain, or two, a player as valuable and as good as that. But what was the secret behind, you know, almost not doing anywhere near required last season to be currently, as we speak, sixth? And I know it's only 5 or 6 games in, but you're still sixth in the table. Every single point counts. What's happened? What's David Moyes done differently this time around to last season?
I mean, he's gone back to what he knows. You know, he's gone back to playing to his strengths and how he knows how to play and get the most out of the team. Last season, you know, we got new coaching staff in, tried to change things. There's a lot of new ideas coming in. And it just didn't work. You know, the idea, the hope was that we could be a bit more of a possession-based team. And that just was not the case. And again, it was an over-reliance on Declan Rice, one player. And yeah, I think we saw it throughout the season. The players couldn't quite get on with the new system. And we suffered for it. Whereas this time, Moyes has gone back to what he knows. He's sold Rice, but he strengthened the team as a whole, more balance in midfield, and he's brought players in and that he thinks can effectively play the way he wants to play. So there's much more cohesion. You know, we got Tim Stuyton in, who was linked with the Liverpool job, I believe, as the technical director for Liverpool. Obviously, you didn't end up getting him for whatever reason. We ended up getting him, and he's paid dividends because we ain't got David Sullivan negotiating transfers. So we're getting the players we want over the line. He's going and they're dealing with someone serious, not flipping David Sullivan. So that's been a big bonus. So yeah, now Moyes, you know, obviously the counter-attacking football, it's what he does best and it's working. I mean, the Brighton game was, you know, it's a tactical masterclass from Moyes. So that typifies it. But we're also scoring more goals now. Even though we're playing more defensively, we're scoring more goals. And scoring goals last season was a massive problem for us. Ward-Prowse has been a revelation. That signing right there, which is, you know, went under the radar, that has a lot to answer for, because it's not just his set-piece delivery, it's his passing range. And I think that link and having a player like as good in the transition as him has, yeah, made all the difference for us. So many components, that I think, that come into it.
Well, absolutely. And Elliot, have you had a chance to watch West Ham, mate? And if so, yeah, what are your thoughts on West Ham so far this season, and how have they impressed you?
Yeah, no, what I've caught, I mean, obviously match of the day is always good help, but I caught Chelsea, Brighton and Luton game. I think they were all on TV, so of course all of them. And I, you know, it's a good, you know, it's simple. As you said, Dan, it did it back to probably basics, back to what Moyes knows best. And I mean, as Liverpool supporters, me and Ben, I've saw a lot of Moyes at Everton and then Man United, where it didn't go too well. But we know what he's capable of.
Yeah, United, mate. Went brilliantly.
Yeah. Well, we know what he's capable of. And that Everton team, it was most fierce, one of the most aggressive teams in the league. And it's probably what they are now these days. But West Ham, it's one of them where he's got what he needs. You know, it's the Scamacca signing and stuff like that from last year. Maybe the good players. But, you know, Moyes maybe not that type of player. So I think the Brighton game is the best example. I think it was one where everyone kind of sat up and took notice and think, okay, West Ham are maybe, you know, they're going to be back up where they should have been last season, where it was like sixth or seventh, you know, eighth around those outside your Champions League places, where the squad on paper, you say Ward-Prowse, I've always been a massive Ward-Prowse fan. I think he is massively underrated. And it's not just them wonderful set pieces. So the balance in the team, Alvarez, Suchet, Ward-Prowse, a much nicer midfield. Well, not nice, he's losing Rice, but you're not just signing one player who's expected to do it all. You balance it out. And you've got Kudus coming in, obviously scored yesterday. So it looks like there's much more talent spread around. And as you said, West Ham doing what Moyes does best, then there should be a threat to anyone realistically this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Kudus. And that's a very impressive signing, because I'm not sure what happened, but it looked like from what I was seeing that he was going to go Brighton. And then at the last hour, he went to West Ham, and he's a player as well, by the way, that was linked with us. I remember reading an article about him during the World Cup. Yeah, it was Liverpool. Liverpool have scouts, and they're looking at Cody Gakpo and Mohamed Kudus, and obviously we signed Gakpo in the end. So Dan, that signing itself, you look at some of the clubs that are linked with him, and you know, to see, and this is no disrespect to West Ham, for you guys to go and get him, like, that's almost like a statement signing, isn't it? When you see the sort of potential he's got around him and the clubs that he's linked to going to.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I wanted to see this summer. You know, we needed, I think, a statement signing. You get those signings, I think, like Ward-Prowse, that you look at and you think, you know, went under the radar, but you think, yeah, that makes sense. West Ham, you know, Ward-Prowse, I can see that, you know, and it doesn't raise eyebrows. But you need that statement signing that goes in and makes other players that you're trying to bring in take notice, and other people take notice. And that goes back to Tim Stuyton, is having someone that can sell the project of the club to a player and, you know, help get them to buy into what you're trying to do. It is massive, and it's something that we haven't really had before. And I think that was the difference maker, you know, for us to be able to get him over Brighton. There was talks about, you know, he wanted a release clause, and that's why he didn't sign for Brighton, but he hasn't got a release clause at West Ham. So from what I've seen, so it seems to be we just sold him on the project better. So yeah, big signing, excited to see what he can do and what he can bring. Very versatile player, got his first goal, and I think that should give him some confidence. But being able to play, you know, attacking midfield, right wing, left wing, up front, even, yeah, he's going to play a lot of games for West Ham, and I think he's going to, yeah, he's going to really give us a boost.
Yeah, and just touching on our recent games, because we're both in the same European competition, which is absolutely crazy to think, because we're a team that have aspirations to not only be in the Champions League, but we want to think we're at the standard to go and win it every single season. That's sort of the standard and the culture that Jurgen Klopp set since coming in. But obviously, for many reasons, which me and Elliot had the, you know, very...
displeasure.
What's the opposite? Displeasure, that's the word I'm looking for, of analysing all of last season. It was a real slog getting through all of that, but we're here now. I want to ask both of you guys, and I'll give my opinion as well. We'll start again with you, Dan, and then we'll come back to the Liverpool side of things. Can we take anything away from our recent games in the Europa League? Because I know you guys played against a team called
TSC
Bakatopola. I think Bakatopola. I think it is.
Yeah, but you did what you did do, Dan, and I did look at the lineup as well. You did bounce back, and you used this as an opportunity after losing to City 3-1 to go and get a win. So, do you think that sort of getting into the constant games, getting that winning feeling again? Is there anything from that we can take into Sunday's fixture?
I mean, it's tough because I think last season taught me a lot about that, in the fact that we went into the Conference League. We won every game in the Conference League. I think we only drew one game towards the end, right? So we was unbelievable in the Conference League. We were terrible in the league, you know, absolutely terrible. So as much as I want to be like, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, but it probably stopped us from going into complete free fall when, you know, in the mire of just, oh my God, we're losing every week. This is horrendous. It can just add that little bit of positivity back in, you know, for the team to win a game and lift spirits just enough, you know. So, like, right, it can be a nice palate cleanser after a loss just to bring a winning feeling back into the team. But I think how much it can affect the team, it's probably overstated, you know, because like I said, it weren't helping us turn our form in the league around at all. But again, it probably just helped, you know, just keep a little bit of negativity at bay. So yeah, I think that's it, mate.
No, absolutely. Elliot, do you agree with that? Because I know I think the team that we played yesterday, in fairness, was a lot stronger than I at least expected. You know, I didn't expect Virgil and Konate to start together. I didn't expect Nunes to start. I didn't expect a few of those players to come in yesterday. But, you know, I think every single player that did start was there for a reason. Obviously, the centre-backs needed the minutes, and Nunes probably, again, won just another game for his confidence sort of thing. So, do you think we can put those players out again and make them go again? And with that, is that going to, like I said to Dan, is that going to bring some confidence or some sort of stability in?
I mean, I think it's probably one of them where you can work things out for individuals rather than the team itself. And then starting 11-wise, because what I said yesterday on the stream is that maybe Diaz and Nunes don't start Sunday because they played the 90 yesterday. And then the likes of Gravenberch, Endo, Bacetic, Kelleher as well. You can work things out for individuals and just see how their confidence is getting along. Like, so, you know, you want to see the new signings develop at a quick rate and get used to the teammates. So I think Liverpool can use that after Europa League. I don't think there's much to take, especially Liverpool's group. You know, look at West Ham's group, at least Olympiacos and Freiburg. Probably a decent standard of teams, realistically, on paper. Whereas to lose, I can't pronounce the next pick, Galoos, or whatever you want to call them, And then last season, the Liverpool went 1-0 down. It's not being disrespectful. They all earned the right to be in the competition. Liverpool, if you put them in the Champions League this season, I'd probably say they're four favourites on the bookmakers to win it. So, like, they should stroll through the Europa League group stage, and it's not a disrespect. So I don't think you can really look too much into it. As we said, Ben, it almost felt like a pre-season friendly yesterday just because players getting minutes, players going back from injury, the second choice goalkeepers out, the players who haven't played, you know, suspension and injury wise, are getting their minutes into the legs. So it's nice for that, but obviously you'd rather be in the Champions League, but you've got to make use of it. You should win in every game. You should be playing as poorly as you did in the 45 minutes anyway. So you're probably just wanting to see the progression go. So the next game, he starts in the front foot, and then, you know, it helps with the Sunday, like, where the progress is just game by game, it's better and better, even if it is the second string 11, even though the second string 11 is still strong. So I don't think there's too much to look into it apart from players starting and just pure development and confidence within the new lads on the pitch.
Absolutely. And I think we did see yesterday, it was a brilliant opportunity for the likes of Ryan Gravenberch. And I know there was a few moments where I think he got his decision-making wrong, but, you know, I have seen since an interview with Gravenberch, he was speaking to a reporter and he said that Klopp told him before the game, just go and play, go and show everyone Ryan. And that's what he did, sort of. And you've seen it with the assist. I think as the game progressed, he got into it and he started to show a bit more confidence. And there's only so much you can say because we have to respect the teams that are in there, of course. But come on, like you said, it did feel like a pre-season sort of vibe. We did go 1-0 down, which was crazy. But I'm just going to come back to you, Elliot, before we go back to the West Ham side. That's the second time in a row, at least, we've gone a goal down and then won the game 3-1. Is this some sort of tactic now? Go one goal down early on and then sort of switch on and then win the game? Are you concerned about it? Or what's your feeling on that, mate?
I was concerned about it when it was the quadruple season because everything was on the line near enough every game. And Liverpool, you could kind of see, and it just went 1-0 down every game. Even though I remember the Southampton game, the second to last game of the season, Minamino had to get Liverpool out of a bit of a mess. I don't want that to carry on, but I feel like there's a bit of a difference. I said this yesterday in the stream to it from now to a couple of years ago, is where they go 1-0 down because purely maybe just getting used to each other. And then 11 changes, by the way, for any competition, you could be playing your Sunday league team, 11 changes, they've got to get used to each other. So I don't think there's too much to look into it. However, in the Premier League games, it probably is. I mean, Wolves after the international break as well. So I don't think there's too much right now. But if we're 3-4 weeks, you know, if we're going up until the next international break and we're still discussing this, then it's obviously a concern. But I think I read since Klopp was appointed out of the top five league, Liverpool have came back from 1-0 down to win games the most out of any team. So it's how you can look at it, isn't it? It's either a worry or it's a fantastic way of seeing the mentality. And I think that the most important thing about this season so far is the mentality coming back, because every game Liverpool went 1-0 down so far this season. Last season, it's 3-0. And the game's done already. It's absolutely gone. So it's great to see them coming back, but it would be very nice to see them just maybe go 1-0 up and control the game like the Villa game. You know, that's the standard they've set. That's what they should be aiming for basically every home game, at least this season, I think.
Absolutely. And before we move on, big up to Hamza. How are you doing, my friend? Hope you are good. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think obviously the Newcastle away game was the one. I don't mean to like boast about these things, but it's another game that I was able to be at, and it was the best. Nothing will top that game, especially in the Premier League. Nothing will ever come close to that, I'm sure. But you're right, the whole mentality, I think that was the game where I spoke to a few people after it and was like, yeah, this was the one where last season, that's, I think it's probably 3 or 4 minimum, the way it went, and Virgil getting sent off and just the way we played in the first half, but then just how you can turn it around. And we've spoken about Klopp and his criticism that some people have been giving him about his in-game management and stuff like that, something I've not really agreed with, to be fair. But if anybody did have that criticism over him, I think this season he is proving those guys that, yeah, he can turn games around with just a couple of substitutions. So yeah, Dan, let's talk about players that might not be available, because we're going to get into we're going to basically predict our teams, and I've got something that I'm going to put on the screen for us to do that. But first of all, is there anybody from West Ham that's unavailable? I did read earlier that Jared Bowen might be ill. So is that something from, you would have read it more than me, is that legit? Do you think it might be a bit of mind games or?
Well, Bowen wasn't in the squad for the Europa League game. I think it's an illness, a little bit of illness or whatever. So he's going to have a late fitness test. So it could be some mind games, but it could just be that, yeah, he had a bit of a flu or whatever and had to miss the game, and they're going to see how he goes. So it's 50-50, I think, whether he's actually going to play or not. So it's hard for me to even predict that, because it's just so up in the air. Like, it could seem like he's not going to be it, then he's in the team sheet, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I hope he is.
Give him another day, mate. Give him another day to recover, please.
Now, listen, we're going to need all of our best players for this game. Trust me.
Yeah, Bowen is a very scary player. Is that it? Is it just him, or is it anybody actually injured that might not be there?
Creswell seemed to pick up an injury yesterday. Creswell, yeah, he wouldn't have been starting anyway, but he'd have been in the squad, probably. Mm. So, off the top of my head, that's everyone. I can't think of anyone else that's injured that would be missing. So, it's just those two that are definitely... yeah, not available. Alvarez did pick up a knock against Man City, but I haven't seen anything about his status. So I'm just going to assume he's available.
Yeah. Perfect. So, well, not perfect, because Bowen is, you know, you need him. But yeah, it could be worse, because Elliot, I think from the top of my head, it's just Thiago and Trent that's out.
Yeah, obviously Gavin Birch ran off, didn't he? But it was only cramp, so I don't think he'll start anyway. But yeah, Trent and Thiago mains will not be mains will not be a footballer this week. But yeah, no, just them two, it looks, because nothing's been said about Trent, which is concerning, but you know, hamstring injury, can't take any risk with it.
He was doing his individual warm training the other day, wasn't he? Running around. So
I'm not a
physio. I'm not going to pretend I know what that means in terms of his comeback, but some people were encouraged by that, so we'll see what happens. I'm just going to ask you about Trent real quick, Elliot, because obviously we've not had him for a while, and I thought Thiago is an unbelievable football player, but at this current moment I'm not really seeing him as a loss, because we've not had him this season anyway. In fact, we've not had him since February, so we've managed to crack on without him, and we got some form last season, and this season we're doing really well. So I love him, and if he's there playing, fantastic. But the way I've seen it now is we've managed to sort of kick on without him and get some good form. So my only really concern is, and I want to know if you share this concern, is we saw Joe Gomez play as the inverted right back, and I didn't really think it worked out. Is this something that you'd be concerned about going into this game?
Gomez as the inverted for Sunday, is that what you're asking, if that's a concern?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And what I'm concerned about is him doing it, because if you have a pair of eyes, you'll see that he can't do it. It's as simple as that. The first half against Wolves, everyone was just on Twitter. I was watching it. I was in shock that it was what I was seeing, because Gomez, you probably have some concerns about him playing out from the back of the centre half at times, especially in recent seasons, because he's been so injury prone and we haven't seen a lot of them, so you know his form is up and down. So on the ball, you'd be a bit concerned, especially with the lack of pace, considering that being the injury a good few years ago. So as an inverted on possession, he's meant to be creative. That's what Trent's done the inverted for, Trent, to be creative. Gomez can't do it. It's simple as that. I mean, I was pleased to see Pasetic doing it yesterday, because I think he can. That's the type of role, you know, the player profile you need for that inverted role. Gomez isn't that. And what I see in the second half of the Wolves is more traditional 4-4-2. Or 4-2-2 with the you know, attacking midfielders a bit inwards, or Diaz one inwards and Diaz out wide. It was nice. It was much better. And you see Robertson as the more traditional fullback, which is what he is all about. So I don't know. I'm very intrigued to see what he does, but he can't be the inverted. I think he can't do it. So if he does do it, it's definitely a concern. So I'd imagine he just does this 4-3-3, but a bit more control, because he's got legs in midfield now. I think he's kind of been edging back towards it, but then you always see the fullback in field, so you can't really tell. It's a good thing, don't get me wrong, because it keeps the opposition guessing, but it's not a good thing when the centre half's in midfield, you can't really do it.
No, absolutely. And there's no point criticising Gomez if he is asked to play that role, because he can't do it. It's never been his game to be good with the football, especially from those positions. So we'll see what happens. We probably did need another backup, and I know we had Connor Bradley, who did, I think he went out on loan, but he did get injured as well, I think.
Yeah,
there's a couple others there around. Obviously, Calvin Ramsey went out on loan again. I think he's injured now as well. But we'll see what happens. We will see. I want to get into the lineup predictor. This is something that we've done with our guests since we started this season. And I'm going to put you on the spot here, Dan. I've got this predictor here from West Ham. I want you to give a predicted lineup, mate, or at least what you would go with, sort of thing. So, yeah, first of all, mate, what formation does it need to be?
So it'll probably be the 4-1-4-1 that we've been playing. I think we play that against Brighton. So I can see that being what we have there. So it'll be, So basically, four at the back, one holding midfielder, two centre midfielders, two wingers and striker.
Cool. So who's going to be from left to right?
Yeah, so on the right, it's going to be Soufal. We haven't got much depth when it comes to right backs. Kura is can play right back. I think he's more of a centre back. So he sort of... all over the place, but yeah, Soufal is the bona fide sort of starting right back. And then, yeah, at the back, Zuma on the right sided center back, he's been unbelievable, great as a captain for us. Absolutely smashed it, so really good. Agüero, we'll keep his place. He's left sided center back, although Mavropanos is definitely knocking on the door. He had a great performance yesterday, man of the match for me. It's going to be a Agüero. And left back will be Emerson. Done really well for us, actually. Slow start, but he's really coming along nicely. Much more of an attacker-minded fullback than defensive, though, so he can be got at. And then holding midfield, like I said, I'm going with Alvarez. Been incredible since he came in from Ajax. Mm. Been really buzzing with his performances so far. So, yeah, really good defensive midfielder. And then on the left wing, so if we go into what we probably did with against Brighton, I could see Paqueta be playing on the left again, not his favoured position, but needs for the balance of the squad to fit in other key players here. And then I think we're going to have, for this game, I can see Ward-Prowse will definitely play in the centre, it's one of the centre midfielders. So you see Ward-Prowse, either one of those, probably, yeah, that side. And then I think Souček will play because of his ability to break up play and his ability to defend and attack set pieces. So I can see him playing. Not great in terms of transitional play, passing, linking up, defense to attack, that sort of stuff, or actually driving with the ball, dribbling. But
one of the frustrations of last season in the league, so I remember seeing quite a few fans of West Ham being a bit irritated, or was that just kind of over the top?
No, it was just, it's just very frustrating. It's a very frustrating player. He's good in those moments.
Yeah.
But he's limited as a midfielder from what you want in terms of being able to progress the ball forward. Like I said this on Man City channel, you know, some people call him a box-to-box player, but he's only a box-to-box player in the fact that he runs from one box to another box. He doesn't do it with the ball, unfortunately. He can't do that with the ball. So that's the thing. He just runs back and forth and does the job in different boxes off the ball. And then, you know, so very limited. But he has his effectiveness in games like this. When we went down to 10 men against Chelsea, he was crucial at that moment, helping us see that out. So I can really see Moyes going with Souček in this game. And then on the right, I'm gonna go with Bowen. If it's not Bowen, it'll be Kudus. But I'm going to believe that Bowen will be available for this game. He'll be fighting tooth and nail to play this game. So he'll be doing everything he can. So I'm going to stick with Bowen, but Kudus is there. And then it's going to be Mikel Antonio, the man who's tipped us to finish above the Liverpool this season. Antonio, we got to see you. Listen, we got to see a 10 out of 10 performance. After
I know. We've got to see that now.
So, listen, a goal. He needs to score a goal, mate. You've got
yeah, he's kept to his word. If he scores, then that's fair enough. Can't say much.
Yeah.
They exactly. Do the Homer Simpson celebration in front of the cop.
Oh, that'll be amazing. if he don't, like I said, if he don't score and he drops a terrible performance, then he's going to have egg on his face and he's rightly going to get battered by the Liverpool fans.
Well, past the corners.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking about Elliot about that before. You was in the backstage. So many Liverpool fans are absolutely rattled, and I've not seen the context behind it, but I can only assume he's on a podcast and he's having a laugh. If he believes it, which, you know, as a player, you have to believe your club will finish as high as possible, fair play. But I think the reaction's been a bit silly, to be honest. So many Liverpool fans are genuinely fuming with it, and it will be funny if, you know, he doesn't score whatever, but we'll see. Elliot, let's come to us, mate. Ours, unfortunately, doesn't look as aesthetically pleasing on the eye.
Which is a pitch. 11 players on it. That's all that matters.
It's just a pitch with 11 players. So I think I can pretty much fill out the main part of it without too much discussion.
Yeah, I think the back line, would be what we all anticipate, isn't it? It's no. I think it's midfield is the one, again, isn't it, really? Just because. Yeah.
So what are you saying?
I mean, I think it'll be the lads who didn't start on Thursday. McAllister, Jones and Szoboszlai seems to be what he went to in pre-season. So I'd say McAllister, he'll do him as the sixth again. I don't want him to be the sixth, but I feel like he might do. But then this is what I mean in terms of changing of systems, especially against Wolves. It was Szoboszlai Deepa was unbelievable how he like controlled the game. So I don't know. It's a bit difficult to predict at the moment. I don't think in terms of individual players, but in terms of just the formation, I think it might.
You really think Trent's not available? Like, is it really looking like he's not going to be?
Well, that's been said. It's a hamstring injury, so I don't think so. And Gomez has been playing well, so probably even if he is available for what an hour, you're probably better off just starting Gomez, especially if you know, Paqueta needs to be dealt with. He's a good player, good second player, so.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that midfield, to be fair. I think, obviously, if Jones wasn't going to play against West Ham, he probably plays yesterday.
Yeah,
he didn't get on, did he, at all?
No, not, and then neither did Jota or Gakpo. So you've got to try and put two and two together there where you think Jota and Gakpo surely start on Sunday. I don't agree with it. I think Nunes should be starting. Mm-hmm. And Diaz, to be honest. I don't think you should really change it.
Yeah, if you ask me, and I'm not the manager, which one would I rather keep those guys for? It would have been this one, and I would have gone with these two yesterday, and I think we still would have won. So it is interesting to see that he did that. Mm-hmm. But maybe, Elliot, he's going to squeeze one more game out of the other guys, which could be crazy, to be fair, because they just played, and then just give them the whole day off on Tuesday and maybe not even put them in the squad.
I don't know, but it's good, isn't it? Obviously, because of the strength and depth, but I don't know. Shig said something quite interesting to me yesterday, is that like we've seen Nunes come off the bench and be the difference. So, you know, maybe he wants to have that option there rather than starting him. So therefore, that's why he got 90 yesterday. But Diaz is a strange one for me because he's been fantastic, probably arguably alongside Szoboszlai's player of the season so far, especially with adding the goal. So it was a strange one for me to see him play 90 yesterday.
No, absolutely. I'm not sure why. I thought they would have got an armor each max. This attack, I love these two players, Jota and Gakpo. They're both. I think Gakpo gets a lot of criticism, but this season he hasn't really had too many opportunities in his natural position, which is more here, and then Jota will be a bit further along. But I'd still hope that team and that attack is good enough. I mean, Mo Salah. Again, Elliot, just on the back of him before we get into the predictions for this game. You know, Mo Salah, again, he's in the form of his life. He's got a goal or an assist in his last 12 games. I find it mad, to be honest, just off topic, how few people have him in their FPL team. I've had him since day one, him and Haaland. Yeah. So I've been feasting. But it's just touch on Mo Salah, really, mate. And his form and how good he's been since all the Saudi stuff was out. And he's just kicked on, hasn't he?
Yesterday was unbelievable just because obviously Lask aren't anywhere near the level that Salah is. So to see him basically come on and take the mick out of even his teammates, because the standard he put compared to them for what, 15 minutes on the pitch, he was unbelievable. I think, you know, he's probably one of the Premier League greats now, and he's got to just carry it on and hopefully put Liverpool's drive for stride with City. But I want to ask Dan something, because with Gakpo and Jota, you know, old Nunes and Diaz, Dan, who would you rather face, you know, as a West Ham fan, who would you rather see on that opposition team? Just because I think it's always interesting seeing outside perspective on Liverpool, you know, just starting 11s.
Yeah, probably Gakpo and Jota, because I think, Nunes has been, I think he's been brilliant. And yeah, I remember last season at Anfield. He was a real problem for us. So yeah, be glad to not have to go up against Nunes. But you know, he is a worry to have off the bench. That is the thing, and depends on how early Klopp would bring him off. But he can definitely make an impact. That's for sure. But for us, you know, you mentioned that, you know, obviously go into predictions, but you mentioned that record of coming back from 1-0. This is why we just got to get two. Just get two before you can get one. And before someone like Nunes can come on, we just got to do it.
Yeah, well.
Absolutely. Let's go into predictions just real quick though. I mean, we've both done really well for our own standards. We've sort of, we demanded this sort of start, didn't we, Ali, in this form? And, you know, we just
had to win games
and get the winning feeling back. And obviously West Ham are sixth at the minute, doing really well. So both teams really coming into this on the... And I know you did lose 3-1 to Man City, Dan, but that can happen to any club, so I wouldn't read too much into that. It even happened to us last season, but that was at their ground, in fairness. But, yeah, what are you predicting in this game, Dan, as the visitor coming to Anfield? Obviously, this Liverpool team is still relatively new, so are you seeing it as a chance that you might be able to go and get something, or... Do you think it's Liverpool, it's Anfield, it's still going to be as hard as it's ever been?
Yeah, look, it's going to be incredibly tough. And yeah, those factors of Liverpool, Anfield, the quality that you have, great manager, like it's always going to be an uphill battle. But I feel like right now this season, it's the best time for us, the way we're playing and how we're set up to play a team like Liverpool. So while I think a win would be a step too far, I'd probably push and be positive and predict a draw, like a 1-1. I can see us going 1-0 up first and you guys coming back and getting an equaliser and that being it, you know. So yeah, you know, again, obviously Bowen is going to be a big miss if he isn't playing, so I really hope he's available. But you know, hopefully if Kudus does step in, he can just really shine. But I feel like he's going to need a bit of time to adapt to the team, to the league. So that's why I really want Bowen to come in. So, yeah, we'll see. Like, it won't surprise me, obviously, if Liverpool win. But, yeah, I think I can see a draw. I can't see us winning, but I can see a draw.
You predicted a draw. Scores and scorers? Sorry, scorers, yeah. You predicted a draw, so that's obviously the score. But what sort of draw? We're talking a big draw, small draw?
Yeah, no, I think it'd be just a 1-1. Yeah, I think it'd just be a 1-1. I can't see it being a goal fest. I think both teams will be quite sharp defensively in this game. Too sharp. And yeah, there'll be chances, but I think only one goal will go back in the back of the net for each team.
And who were they?
Now, we haven't kept a clean sheet all season, by the way. So I'm desperate for that clean sheet. I would love to get a 1-0 in this game. But yeah, I can't see it.
Interesting, Elliot. Dan's going with a draw.
Yeah, I mean, I think my mind will probably change on the lineup, because I think one thing looking at West Ham is, especially Kufali, such a solid player, but maybe a lack of pace as a fullback. So Diaz should, you know, take advantage of that. So it'd be nice to see him start, because Jota is maybe deceptively quick, but Diaz is just rapid. So it'd be, you know, I think you need to see him to stretch West Ham, especially, you know, everyone knows what Moyes is going to do. He's done it all season, sit back, counter-attack. I would be concerned if West Ham do go on a lot because of that Moyes. I know he's just said no clean sheet, so Liverpool should be able to break that. So I'll go with West Ham scoring first, Antonio, just because it's the narrative's already there. The story's already there. And then you know, I think 1-1 before half time, maybe. And then I think a late winner. I think I'll go 80-plus win. I don't know who for. Maybe little Nunes coming off the bench. But I'd like to see Gakpo just because, you know, I think he needs it, to be honest. I know he scored against Wolves, but he didn't really have the best of games. And then he didn't play at all in Thursday. So I've got to anticipate he's going to play, whether that be from the start, you'd assume so. So a little Gakpo winner would be nice. I think a 2-1. I'm not going to go for a 3-1 or 4-1, like a massive comeback. I think West Ham will be still so at it, even if they do lose, you know, a goal. So I think a little tight 2-1 victory.
Interesting, because that's exactly the scoreline I was going with. We know West Ham's, it's going to come from a set piece, their goal. And I'm not sure if they're going to score first. I actually think it will score first, and then they'll equalise, and like you say, there'll be a winner. I've got a feeling Nunes is going to score again. I don't know why. I don't know if he's going to start, but I think this game is going to be a Darwin Nunes game. And I'm a massive Darwin fan, as you know, a lot of people know. I thought some of the stuff when he came in was absolutely horrendous from what we were seeing, you know, from some so-called Liverpool fans, some big accounts out there. Then I'm not going to throw names out, but calling him like Ford trucks and, you know, he's a useless bus and all of this nonsense. And now we're seeing Darwin Nunes, even the, you know, the goal scoring is one thing, but he was always criticized because of his like all-round play, his link-up play, his hold-up play. Now that's getting really neat and tidy. He's really improving on that level. So I think you're looking at really, really scary forward now. And I would have, like I said before, I would have prioritized him to start in this game, to be honest. But Klopp is the manager. Maybe he's going to throw him out again. And like I say, Tuesday night, he's going to just purely give that to other players. I don't know. But I think he might be a decisive factor from the bench if he's not starting. And I feel like Mo Salah's going to score a penalty. I don't know why. I feel like we're going to get a pen. And I think Mo Salah's going to score it.
I don't think he should be on. That's a good point, actually.
For West Ham, I'm actually going to say Antonio probably is the most likely to score, but I've had him in my FPO, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know how many goals he's on, but I took him out because he didn't score for a call. I don't know if I'm waffling there. How many has he scored so far, Dan, this season?
Antonio?
Two,
yeah. Yeah, I think it is. Not many. It's like one or two. I think he's got a couple of assists.
Maybe the goals have been coming.
Yeah, I think Ward-Prowse would definitely be involved in one of the goals. He's been involved in a goal every game. There's not been a single game.
Maybe Antonio or Ward-Prowse free kick, because first free kick for West Ham.
Yeah, and then he equals the David Beckham record.
Yeah, of course he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my prediction. 2-1. Elliot, you said 2-1.
Yes, I did, yes.
And Dan said 1-1. So there we are, guys. And we are going to wrap up there, going to keep it a bit shorter. Dan, like you said at the start, is on a million different channels, and I know he's got stuff coming up tonight. So, Dan, we massively appreciate you for giving the time up and coming on here and talking about the game. And you'll probably see me and Elliot or me or the other guys on Sunday evening. Elliot, you probably take that one off, mate. You've done loads recently. I'll get someone else on for that one. I don't know what time it will be, guys, but if you follow us on Twitter, I'll make sure that I tweet out at least an hour before we go live, so you guys will be able to join that. And hopefully we'll have another Liverpool win to talk about. Smash the like button, check out the sponsor, Your Foot Cards, using TAT Pod. You get 15% off any purchase. And we'll see you on Sunday evening, guys. Take care and bye for now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.